today on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
So there are negatives, there are no-nos, but make sure in your raising of your children, there are lots of yes-yeses. It's a wonderful privilege to be a Christian, even though there are no-nos for us, that other children might be able to have yes-yeses and you can't because you're a royal royal. Kings care about all these things. And give them a positive thing to get involved in, rights and responsibilities for the child. Make sure you're talking to your children.
Real communication is such a vital part of parenthood. Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe shares the second part of her message, Queen of Your Children's Hearts. More from Jill on the way. What in your mind makes a great marriage, and how do you get there? In a new 6-message series, Pete Briscoe shows you some secrets to a successful marriage. This special series is our way of saying thanks for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Call today, 1-800-889-5388, and request Secrets to a Successful Marriage when you give. 1-800-889-5388. Now, with the second part of her message, Queen of Your Children's Hearts, it's Jill Briscoe.
Judy and I wrote a book, I Caught a Little Big Fish, How to Help Your Children Develop a Relationship with God, Fishing for Faith in the Heart of Your Child. And we have told, just very simply, in both sides of our families, and we have regenerate families all around, our married spouses as well, and I just asked them to give me a little page on how they came to Christ. Absolutely amazed me. I've told all their stories in here. That every single one of our children and their spouses came to Christ under the age of 6. Every one of them. We caught little big fish in those days. You never know what you're catching when you catch a little big fish. But it's an incredible thing to have that privilege of starting it. But then you keep it going. How do you then help them to live Christianly in a non-Christian world? Well, let's get some hints. First of all, don't be afraid of negatives. Don't be afraid of negatives. Have you told your child what the 10 no-nos are? That's the 10 commandments. When you think of the 10 commandments, think of them. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. They're no-nos. And they're pretty big no-nos. When God wanted to say the 10 most important things to the human race, he gave us 10 no-nos. He really gave us negatives. And what I think is happening is we are afraid of the negatives. Now, I'm going to talk about the positives in the rest of this talk. But we mustn't be afraid of absolutes, of the negatives. Tell your children. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to get drunk. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, to ignore your responsibilities to the poor. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, to just use your position just for your own advantage. It's not. It's not. It's not. Don't be afraid of drawing the line. A child that isn't rebuked or reminded of those no-nos feels its actions have no consequence. Therefore, it has no consequence. If you never correct, if you never rebuke, if you never discipline a child, they don't matter. Therefore, what they do doesn't matter. Therefore, who they are doesn't matter. And the negatives are very, very important. Have you ever sat down and explained the Ten Commandments for your children? Let's just go through some of them. There is only one true God, and we are not to worship idols. Have you ever told your children that there is only one God and only one way to worship him through Christ, and that Christ was God? Now, in a day and age where toleration is the word, toleration of anybody else's religion, respect for what people believe, yes, respect for the fact that they need a choice to understand and reject, for they have free will, yes. You know how many times in Isaiah 42:8, in Isaiah 43:11, lots and lots of verses you can find, God says, I only I am a savior. I only I am the true God. Beside me, there is no other. Israel, listen. And the first two commandments have to deal with the fact that Christianity is true. Well, that's the first two commandments. Hear, O Israel. The Lord, O God, is one Lord. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Teach it to your children as you walk by the way, as you sit at the table, as you just in the ordinary time of day as it comes up. Isn't it wonderful that God has chosen our family to know this truth, that there is one way and that we know Jesus and we're going to heaven? Secondly, thou shalt not swear. On her tongue was the law of kindness, not crudeness. Make sure you model this. Watch all the things that your mouth says. In my book, Body Language, there's a chapter on obscenity and swearing and all the different words that are defined differently. What is taking the Lord's name in vain? What is obscenity? What is swearing? What is blasphemy? But basically, let's deal with taking the Lord's name in vain, because that is a no-no. It's a no-no. Big no-no. God's no-nos. This is one of his. Jesus says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Just to be safe and make sure that you're not doing one of God's no-nos. I remember Pete coming home from school at the age of 4 with a mouthful of all these words that he shouldn't be saying. It only took him a week to figure that out. And I remember Judy saying, oh, you should hear what Peter's saying, those bad words. So when I put him to bed that night, I said, Peter, where are you learning all these words? At school, Mummy. Well, these are bad words. They're God's no-nos. Well, how will I know what they are, Mummy? Well, you've certainly learned a few of them. Well, are there any more? Yes, there are. How will I know what they are? Tell me, Mummy. So I said, well, okay, you will hear Mummy say these once. You'll never hear Mummy say them again. But just so that you get it, I'm going to give you a list of these no-nos, okay? Because that's one of God's rules, royal rules here for royal children like you, Pete. Okay, Mummy. So I began going down the names, all the ones I could think of. And I'd had a pretty filthy mouth myself before I was converted. And so I was reaching back to think of all this. And I thought, I'm going to do everything I possibly can. And each time I do one, Pete's such an actor, you know, he'd go, put his head under the pillow. I mean, so I went my way down this list until I can think of no more. And I said, now there you are, Peter. And he says, you've forgotten two. A little imp knew them all the time. He just wanted to hear me say them. However, I was able to say to him, okay, you tell me what the two are, Peter. So he did. I said, okay, let's add them to the list. Now, if Mummy hears any of those words, then there's going to be a timeout or whatever. It's a no-no. Let them know what the no-nos are. Three has to do with Sunday, going to church for his sake, keeping the Sabbath day holy. Well, they had a Saturday, we have a Sunday. This has got to be a special day. And you know, for Christian children, it's not always so. For Christian children, they find church difficult sometimes, especially pastors' kids or leaders' kids. Seem to have them here every day of the week and they're in and out those doors. Don't start and treat Sunday like any other day. That's a no-no. It must be special. How can we make it special? How can we make it different? How can we set it apart in some way for rest and worship and recreation in the right sense and family days? Is it the best or the worst of your days? I was really sad to hear a pastor's wife say, Sunday is my worst day. Sunday is my worst day. And that's for different reasons. You're on your own. Your husband's very busy looking after everybody else's children. And it's a very, very difficult day for a leader's wife. In fact, I was speaking at a pastor's wives thing not too long ago, and I said to them, what's your most difficult thing? And they said, oh, Sunday. And one of them said, oh, I tell you, she said, I had my kids down at the front. I usually sit at the back, but I had my three kids in this. There's nowhere else to sit. And my little girl was absolutely impossible. And so I had to take her out in front of everybody. And she said, as we walked down the aisle, she began to shout to the congregation, pray for me. I think she got her head knocked off when she got outside the door. Can you imagine how humiliating that must have been? Pray for me. But it's hard to raise Christian children still loving and liking church. And they might get in a Sunday school class where it's different and they don't want to come. What do you do? Well, when they're little, you pick them up and you put them in the car and you bring them and that's it. But when they hit the junior high period, I remember turning around, finding my Pete standing behind me, taller than me. I had a hot dish in my hand, and I said, move, Pete, move, move, you're going to get burned. And I looked up to become in a still point with my son. as he had suddenly come to the realization that I couldn't make him. And he simply said, "Make me, Mom." And we stood looking at each other, and my heart went, boop, it's over. I can't pick him up and put him in the car anymore. And it was shortly after that that Pete decided he didn't want to come to church anymore. He said, "Dad preaches too long. It's boring." Well, here we are, the senior pastor's wife, and here's one of my children that doesn't want to go to church. What am I going to do? I tried everything I could that day. Willpower, get in the car, Pete. We are going to church. We got to church. He did not turn in here. He went behind the coat racks. So I went behind the coat racks. I think it was at that point a lady approached me and said, "Have you read the Dobson books?" Could have hit her over the head with one at that point. Here I was wrestling with this child who didn't want to go to church. And I realized I was wrestling with more than that. First of all, I was wrestling with what would the church think of Jill Briscoe, that her son didn't want to come to church. And I apologized for that. I said, "Pete, I think I'm concerned that people are wondering about me, and I should be concerned about you and why you don't want to come to church. I said, please, will you go to church? We will talk about this afternoon. We'll sit down and we'll talk it out." And so that's what we did. And we took some concession. We gave him some concessions. You will be in church Sunday morning. You can choose if you have a good reason Sunday night. We had Sunday evening services then. You will be in a youth group during the week, but you can choose. And we took his mind off the royal rules and put them on his choices and his concessions and lightened the load a bit. And that's what he did. And he did not choose to come to the youth group here, which was very difficult for me to accept. We had a wonderful youth group, a wonderful youth pastor. He just didn't click. He didn't fit. But he found his own, and he chose. And he chose Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which was great. He was a basketball player, and that's what turned him on.
Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth, and she's headed right back to Proverbs 31 for more on being queen of your children's hearts. Did you know with your smartphone, you can hear Telling the Truth daily programs? Get the Telling the Truth mobile app today. You can listen to messages, read and comment on Briscoe devotions, find relevant teaching on what you're experiencing, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Find the Telling the Truth app in your app store or at tellingthetruth.org. And remember, you can give to support Telling the Truth through your mobile app or text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Let's go back now to Jill.
And so you keep an eye on your children, as this woman did. Keep an eye on your children. Keep an eye on your household. And you try and figure out what's happening in their little lives. And it is absolutely normal in junior high age to have kids that do not want to go to church. Do not think you're the only mother on earth that is coming into this. So just hang in there. This too will pass. I remember Pete Briscoe sitting up there with his head on his hands every time his dad began to preach. His body language saying, "I do not want to be here. This is boring. When can I get out of here?" And in the end, I said, "Would you sit behind a pillar? The whole church is watching you, Pete, as soon as your dad begins to preach." And I remember Wynne Couchman saying to me, "I'm praying for Pete." How fitting he became a junior high pastor, because he really understood those kids and how to make church interesting for them. Sunday, it's one of God's no-nos. Don't let it become like any other day. 4, respect mom and dad. Do what God wants you to do. It means doesn't argue, means doesn't answer back. 5, kill. A mom tells her kids that he must have a respect for life, that life is sacred. You know, in other cultures, they don't get it. I remember being just down in Colombia and a Wycliffe missionary explaining to me that they had no word for forgive and they had no word for sorry. And they had no word for sin. And there wasn't such a thing as sin. And a man had told the missionary, "I killed a man. I made an error today. I killed a man. It was an error. It wasn't sin." And so what you do when you're trying to translate the Bible and there isn't a word for forgive, and forgiveness means nothing if there isn't an acknowledgement of sin or an absolute that you have trigressed, how do you explain and what do you put in the Bible? Very, very difficult. This particular missionary was in a tribe where they all lived in hammocks, and the men slung their hammocks in the tops of the trees and the women in the bottom of the trees with the kids. And you would have three or four hammocks if you had a lot of children in one tree. And at night, they would all go to bed at sundown because they didn't have any lights or anything and there was nothing else to do but swing in their hammocks. And they would sing monotone. And the men would start, and it would be a litany of the day of all the wife had not done. And they would start and say, "You didn't hoe a straight row today." And the women underneath would reply in harmony, "You're mad with me and I don't care. You're mad with me and I don't care." And then the men would come up with the next one. "You did not bring the water from the river today when I asked you to. You're mad with me and I don't care. You're mad with me." Now, don't let this give you any ideas. Don't get bunk beds. But that's because they don't have a concept of saying sorry or I'll change. And so the complaint is put out and the wife says, "Well, you're mad with me and I don't care." Not a way to have a happy marriage, that's for sure. But it's a situation where absolutes have not been taught, no-nos have not been explained. The punishment for no-nos and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness for no-nos that have been perpetrated. "Thou shalt not lie." But little lies are what the heart knows perfectly well to do. "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's bike, thy neighbor's shoes, thy neighbor's basketball lessons, thy neighbor's soccer, thy neighbor's riding lessons or gymnastics." Children have to know they should not say, "I want what she's got." We have to model that ourselves, and we have to learn to be content with such things as we have and live within our means. That's a no-no, to want what another child has. And only Christ can help a little child's heart to be content with the toys and the things that she has and he has. Secondly, give them the no-nos, the negatives. Be specific. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, to get drunk. Tell your kids, don't drink and drive. If you're at a party, you need a way home, call me. You are not to get into the car with a guy that's even had one drink. Do you understand? That's a no-no. Be specific. Dating, tell them. Don't be a good girl, because in be a good girl these days means let the boy have a thank you in the back seat of the car for the night out. If he's paid, then she responds. And you have to spell it out. I remember Bob's rule. I tried to get it out of my teenagers what Bob's rule was on dating, and they wouldn't tell me. It's just between our youth pastor and us, Mom. But one night I was wrestling with Pete, trying to give him a kiss. He was about 14. Of course, he didn't want me kissing him. So we got into this fight, and I said, "I'm going to kiss you goodnight." And we were doing pillows and stuff. And in the end, I got him just here. And he said, "Oh, you broke Bob's rule." And I said, "Go on, Pete, you tell me. The others won't tell me. What's Bob's rule?" And he said, "Bob's rule is don't lie down, nothing below the neck, and don't take anything off." "Oh," I said. And my kids grew up with that and have since testified it saved them many a time at a drive-in movie. It saved them many a time on a date because it was specific. Don't lie down, nothing below the neck, don't take anything off. Helpful. Be specific, like this Queen of Hearts was. So you're negative and then you're positive. The rest of Proverbs 31 is positives all the way. Yes, yeses. This is what the woman I want you to find is like. And every single verse is positive. So there are negatives, there are no-nos, but make sure in your raising of your children, there are lots of yes, yeses. It's a wonderful privilege to be a Christian, even though there are no-nos for us, that other children might be able to have yes, yeses, and you can't because you're a royal, royal. Kings care about all these things. And give them a positive thing to get involved in, rights and responsibilities for the child. Make sure you're talking to your children. This man and woman were talking together. Probably he was coming up to receiving his throne, probably in his teenage years, I would guess, because they were talking about the sort of queen that she would wish that he would choose for himself. But there was communication here, a lot of communication. And what you need to do is start now, because you're not going to start later. Then it'll be too late. You know, what happens if what I'm saying is really rubbing in a raw spot? What happens if you're a mother and you haven't put all this into operation? How do I start now when it seems to be too late? I think of Moses, and I think of the things, if you do start when you can and you get it into them and you bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as best you can. That's what Moses' mother did. And he did wonderfully well in the palace, didn't he? And then he blew it. He went out and killed a man. He lost his temper, do you remember? And he became a fugitive. Have you ever thought that Moses' mother and father died while he was in the wilderness, and they never knew he came back to lead the people out of Egypt? As far as his parents were concerned, it was all over. But I believe that Moses' parents prayed, "Oh, son of my womb, oh, son of my vows, oh, son of my womb," until the day they died. And it might be that in heaven, you're going to have to wait until your children arise and call you blessed. But I believe if you pray, as a queen of heart should, one day they will. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful lessons that we can learn. And as we've thought of the absolutes we need to teach our children, God's 10 no-nos and the corresponding joy and privilege and the yes-yeses that come out of a life of trying to live straight and trying to live a royal life. Lord, teach us to be women with a great big O inside our souls for our children. May we be mothers of prayer. May we be our children's queen of hearts. We ask it for Christ's sake, and in his name we pray. Amen.
Powerful teaching today from Jill Briscoe on how to be queen of your children's hearts. She's coming right back with advice on how to make the Sabbath special. The Secrets to a Successful Marriage is a new 6-part series from Pete Briscoe that helps you take your marriage to a divine level of fulfillment and satisfaction. The series is our way of saying thanks for your donation to help Tell Me the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ. Call today, 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's talk with Jill. Jill, how can families make the Sabbath special?
What happens in your family when Sunday comes along? Are you a church-going family? Does one or two of you go to church? Do your teenagers go, or have they stopped going when they felt they could choose their own schedule on a Sunday? This is such a generic question that we're posing. How can families make the Sabbath special? In a sense, trustfully, the mom and the dad will both love Jesus, and church will not be somewhere they go, but church will be something they are. In other words, the body of Christ. That doesn't mean you don't need to go to a building, because the buildings we're privileged to go to on a Sunday are places where the church gathers, where people that love Jesus gather. And that's a place that should be special for families. It should be special that Sunday school is a must, and I can't wait to get there. It should be special that what the pastor is able to do from the pulpit teaches about Christ and practically how to apply the life of Christ that we can know for ourselves within, how to apply that in the marketplace and in the home for the week to come. So find a good church, a Bible-teaching church. If the children are small enough, you take them to church and you say to them, "This is what our family does." No, if you don't want to go, you come anyway. When they're teenagers, it gets a little bit more difficult. What we did with our teenagers, and we only ever had one of them say, "I don't want to go to church anymore." And, well, actually, they didn't say they didn't want to go to church. They said they didn't want to go to youth group. And we provided 4 names of different youth groups in the area, said you will go to one of them, and it doesn't matter which one. We'd like you to go to the one at our church, but you will go to one youth group and you will be in church on a Sunday morning. And we took the emphasis off "you will be in church" to "you have a choice to choose your own youth group, and these are the choices." And for our situation, that worked.
Thanks, Jill. Right now, when you call and give to help Tell Me the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others around the world experience life in Christ, Well, say thanks with a new marriage series from Pete called The Secrets to a Successful Marriage. No matter how long you've been married or how good you might think your marriage is, this series can help make your relationship both with God and your spouse even stronger. Call 1-800-889-5388 and ask for Secrets to a Successful Marriage when you give. 1-800-889-5388. Tomorrow, Jill returns to Proverbs 31 and talks about what you can do to share Christ with others. Queen of her world, next time, here on Telling the Truth. Listen and experience life.